Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Rick Barry has not missed a free throw against Washington. Now it is Barry. Back to Clifford Ray. Goes to Rick Barry.
Golden State getting that ball moving. Intended for Barry. Barry, look at that pass. Rick Barry, look at that shot, would you?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Barry wants to make a move. There's a Barry. He's got his shot.
Hey everybody, welcome. Yes, we're here at Mic'd Up, and this is Rick Barry. He's been around for a long time. My cohort in crime, Cyrus Satches, started out as my producer back at KNBR, and we've had the good fortune of staying in touch and now having the opportunity to do our shows that we've been doing here, and now joining Mic'd Up, which we think is a great app to have. So tell your friends about it so they can not only enjoy this, but so many of the other shows that are broadcast over the Mic'd Up network. So hopefully you'll enjoy that as well. And then, of course, Cyrus is always on hooked on those Warriors, baby. He's hooked on those Warriors. Yep. So I join him every once in a while on that show as well. But right now we have so many things that, you know, we could talk about that have happened here recently. But what I like to do, I always like to get, we have some calls and stuff initially, get some, because the questions wind up being something we talked about when I get rambling right at the beginning of a show.
Right.
So let's see what the questions are, and that may open up Pandora's box. Who knows?
Well, before we get started on that, how are you feeling, sir? Your throat, your voice sounds a little scratchy.
No, I'm fine. I'm just good. Relaxing back in my chair at the desk at the office. So
good to hear. Okay.
Doing good. Everything is great. Hope everybody, you know, for all of you of the Jewish faith, hope you had a great, happy Hanukkah. Hopefully things get resolved over there, because that's kind of a tragic situation what's taking place, but I'm not going to get into politics.
It's your show. You can if you want.
Yeah,
you
know I can, but I prefer not to, because I prefer not to spoil my evening or my day. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I do.
Because we are recording this in the evening. I just got back from getting to visit my youngest son, Canyon, who hopefully is going to make the USA 3x3 Olympic team. They just qualified for the Olympics playing on the FIBA national tour. And so it's been great for him, and visited him and his new lady, Frances, who's a terrific young lady. So things are good. We've got the holiday coming up, Christmas coming up pretty quickly here. So I certainly hope that everybody's getting ready to be in the festive spirit for that. It was always one of my favorite times of the year, not just because of getting presents. It's just was a special time. Clifford Ray, my great teammate and dear friend Clifford Ray, he always said, well, at Christmas, everybody was so nice and friendly, and it's a happy festive time. So Clifford always leaves a Christmas tree up in his house all year long. He said, if people come into the house, hopefully they'll get, you know, see the tree and be in a good spirit, which I thought was classic.
Is it a real tree or a fake tree?
Yeah, he has an artificial tree, but it's there all the time. No, he'd have to be changing the other one out all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, is it decorated year round, or
Oh
my God, incredible!
Yeah he's amazing. And hey, if you haven't did it, check it out, folks. It's a great cause, the prostate cancer. He has a book called Clifford Ray Saves the Day. It's a children's book, a story about him when he saved the dolphin down at SeaWorld there, and a long time ago. It's a great story, and they made it into a book. It's doing well. He's been traveling around doing a lot of book signings, and the proceeds from the book are going to help with prostate cancer research down at Duke Hospital. So, yeah, good cause.
And your former teammate Clifford Ray is currently advising a team, right? The Timberwolves, is that correct?
No, Cleveland.
Cleveland, sorry. There you go. Yeah. So he's
Cleveland. Cleveland. Yeah, but they've had, Cleveland's had so many injuries and stuff. In fact, that stuff, we'll get into talking about some of the stuff in the NBA. But let's get to some of the questions and get
you
that.
You got it. Well, speaking of Cleveland, here is Jim at Cleveland.
Hey, Rick, wondering if there's a point where the Warriors need to make a big move to change up their starting lineup via the trade, or are you comfortable with the core group of players that they can start to play better?
Well, he sounds depressed about what's going on. He does. His voice there. But thanks for calling. And we talked a little bit about this. I mean, my suggestion was, and I said, sometimes these veteran guys, things aren't going well. Maybe you need to take on the David Lee Andre Iguodala syndrome, is basically be a top notch player and wind up going on the bench and coming in off the bench to help the team win. And Steve Kerr, I know he doesn't, listen to the show to listen to what I have to say, but they made the decision not to do it. I was talking a lot about Clay, but they did the decision. They did it with Wiggins. And what I was proud to see is how well he responded. Now, he did have a bad game, but here's the thing. They got through it with that. They still won the game. And, so hopefully Wiggs can get into that, because it's not about you anymore, guys. This is about the Warriors.
Yep.
How the hell do we play better basketball to win? And if it requires me sitting on the bench as a more of a veteran player, we got a lot of young guys. Those guys are getting great experience. You already have the experience. You see what's going on. When you go in the game, you do the things that you see need to be done. Maybe they aren't being done. So it's a really important role on a team. I don't think people put as much emphasis on it as they really should. I mean, the reason I speak so affirmatively about it is because that's what happened in 75 when we had the amazing championship run that we had. Our bench guys were cheering and doing stuff. They put them in the game. I mean, it didn't matter who was in there. And if somebody wasn't going good, he comes out, the next guy comes in. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't have a situation where we had, we had a really good player doing it, Jeff Mullins. He was an all-star player. Jeff Mullins was willing to be a bench player. I mean, when you have stuff, and then we got Bill Bridges. Right? Another guy was a hell of a player during his day, and he was willing to come off the bench. So, we had two guys just like the Warriors that I mentioned, right, with Lee and Iguodala. We had the same thing. We won the championship. So,
You bring up the Lee Iguodala reference. Do you see a similarity there between those two and then maybe Wiggins and Kuminga? Because I have to give Kerr credit for sticking with Kuminga this last game. I thought it was a difference maker. Previous game, he kept Wiggins in the game. And they barely beat one of the worst teams in the NBA, the Portland Trailblazers. They're playing Boston this last Tuesday, served by my pup. And Wiggins is struggling, like you said. So this time, Kuminga closes the game. And you saw that big steal he had in overtime to get the scoring. I love Kuminga personally. I mean, I think you know that. But what are your thoughts on that comparison between what happened nearly 10 years ago? It's crazy how fast time flies. And more recently with Wiggins and Kuminga.
Yeah, no, I think it could be a similar type of situation. Kuminga's going to get more confidence. He's getting to play, and he's playing better. Let's face it, he's a much better player right now than he was this time last year, for sure, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. And so just accept the fact, hey, if I can go in and help the team win. I mean, he put up great numbers in a couple of those games. And, then he struggled again because he's been having difficulty with the shot. And, of course, the real pleasing thing is, what's happening with Clay. I'm sure we're going to get something about that, too. So we answered the question about that. I'm happy with what they're doing. They're giving more time to the younger players. I mean, I think that's a critical element for a team's success. We had it, again, in 75. They said, hey, I talk about it because I experienced it. And it's happened with the Warriors over the years. The bench had to come through for them. We were worried about it that one year that they won. The bench finally came through. Now these young players are coming through. You got two rookies who did a great job in the last game play. Well, the one he got hurt, unfortunately, my pod man. He got hurt, the podcaster. So, that's what they should call him, the podcaster. Anyway, I'm just happy with what's going on. I see a lot of good things. Sarge, another veteran guy now. He's not played. But when he came in, he put up nice numbers. It's not, guys, about how many minutes you play. It's about that W. It's about the W.
I 100% agree. Is it weird to you, by the way, that we're 2 years away from less than that? I'm sorry, a year and a half away from the 50th anniversary of your title? Is that yeah, that's crazy?
It's kind of creepy. I mean,
my
father, I said the most profound thing my father ever said to me, son, the older you get, the faster the years go by.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, my youngest son, Canyon, is going to be 30 years old. Holy
that's Christmas. Crazy. That's...
My oldest one is in his 50s. And it's going to be 50 years.
50
years since we won the first championship for the Warriors. I mean, my heavens, that's just astonishing. And hey, but the great thing about it is hopefully the documentary that's being done about that team is going to be ready next year. And we'll
finally
maybe, I would imagine it probably might not be until, you know, the last part is next season, and maybe do that and have the, hopefully Joe and Peter will, I think, have the premiere at the Chase Center. That would be incredible to do something like that in honor of the 24-25 season, which 25, obviously, in 25 would be 50 years since we won in 75. So there's just, everything's kind of like falling into place. Everything happens for a reason in life. And it's almost like divine intervention is taking place here. You know, it's kind of cool. Number 24 this year coming up with stuff, 24, then 25, but 24 was my number.
Yep.
It's just a lot of things going on. My son may become an Olympian in 24. I mean, yeah, so cool
Let's
stuff.
Hope. Let's hope. And it's crazy what you bring up about. Well, first of all, I thought of the 50-year thing because I remember when this whole dynasty started, they won their first title on the 40th anniversary of your championship. And I was just thinking, I'm like, wow, that was like 8-9 years ago. It's
right.
Incredible. That's insane. You're absolutely, time. It's just incredible how fast time flies. Here is a Webby with a question for you or us, sir. Here you go. Whoops, sorry.
Not hearing anything.
With him out, some of the younger players are getting a chance to have more of an impact on the game. The Warriors can see what life would be like without Draymond. Is this the beginning of the end for him? What do you think?
Did you miss the beginning of that? I'm sorry.
Draymond, being out, the other guy, more of getting chances to play. But that's part of what life is. I mean, it's as if, you know, the guy's hurt. Somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to get the job. That doesn't matter because it happens to be the suspension. So, and since he brought Draymond up, thinking about what's happening, if somebody comes up with it, I'll probably have to answer it because it's foolish, because it's a good segue into Draymond. So I'll get out what I wanted. It's about Draymond. I mean, you saw all the stuff you showed, what Shaq came out with in defense of him, saying it's ridiculous. You know, it's crazy that he's he doesn't need some therapy or things of that nature. I think it might be in this case. I don't think it's an issue for the Warriors. He'll come back. He'll play. He's a Warrior in heart too. You know, not just as a name as a Warriors. Very appropriate. Matchup there, because he really is truly a Warrior. He's a battler when he goes out there. And here's the thing. See, I can relate to Draymond in respect that I was very outgoing and doing things. I didn't do as many crazy things as he's done. But I cared about it. I had passion when I played. And that's the thing with him. And obviously, he stepped over the line a number of times doing the things that he did. I'm not here standing that, you know, what he did was right. No, it wasn't right. But the problem for me that I have with this is that because of what happened with the last incident, they said because of prior situations and things that have happened, he's going to get a suspension and going to get therapy. Now, I ask you this. How do they know if the therapy is actually going to help him and he's going to be okay and do it? Why? Like, he's going to have some miracle thing just by the way he talks to the therapist that he's going to know that Draymond will never do that on the court the next time. And even like Shaq say, some guys are personalities. Guys play. They're physical. That's the way they play. What bothered me most about the whole situation and the decision that came down is that it was not a blatant, flagrant type of thing that was premeditated. Mm-hmm. It was a reaction to him getting shoved and pushed by somebody. He never even saw what was behind him. He never was it's not an intentional hit.
Okay?
By any stretch of the imagination. And so because of that, I can understand if he saw it was a blatant thing, face it up. No. It was. He never even saw him back there.
Yeah.
He kind of flailed his arm, but a guy pushed him and did it, and his arm wound up hitting him. Unfortunately, I mean, had it not hit him where it hit him, it would have been no big deal.
Agreed.
And then because of that, you take that incident and put down such a severe penalty. But again, yes, I say everything in life happens for a reason. Because of this, just like our caller had mentioned, look at what's the opportunity now that's being given to some of these other guys.
Yep.
And here's the beauty of it. They're responding to it. They're getting a chance to play. They're putting up some nice numbers. They're going to get confidence in themselves and their ability. So when Draymond does come back, the team is going to be better. This will be a better basketball team, not because, you know, because these guys have gotten the chance. And, you know, Draymond's working out hard. I'm sure he's going to be keeping himself in shape. But, and, you know, I guess I don't know what the deal is with this. But can he practice with the team? I don't know the rules on it.
Practice he's allowed to. It's the game.
Okay, well, there you go. So he'll scrimmage whenever they can do it. So it's going to get some action and he'll be a part of it. He'll work out. He's not going to be, you know, super out of shape. But, you know, there's always a difference in playing a regular real game against doing, you know, scrimmaging in practice, obviously. But, you know, it's interesting. It's really interesting how this is all kind of fitting together and playing out. And the pieces of this crazy jigsaw puzzle that have been spread out all over the table are starting to come together. And that's an encouraging thing. If you've ever done a jigsaw puzzle, you know that all of a sudden, boom, boom, these pieces, oh, this piece goes here, this piece goes here. And, you know, you're observing whatever. That's what's kind of happened, what Kerr's doing. I'm saying, well, this piece is out of place. Let me move this over here. And he's doing a good job of it. And the guys are responding. I mean, that was, even though, you know, Porzingis didn't play and there's, you know, other stuff going on, but that's part of basketball. The bottom line is they played one of the best teams in the league. You know, played one of the best teams in the league, and they were able to come back at home down 17 points at one time in the second half. It was such a crazy thing. I mean, if there's not a chance in the world they would have won this game in Boston.
You might be right.
No, I know I'm right.
Oh, fair enough. You're right. Yeah.
I know I'm right. I wouldn't even bet, but I would have bet money on that. As far as saying, okay, the Warriors are going to be down 17 in Boston in the second half, but they're going to come back and win. Hell no. No way. That's just not going to happen, mainly because they had the deep hole syndrome going, which I always talk about in broadcasting I brought up. What that is you fall behind. Then you fight to get back. And then you fall behind again. And you use up the energy to fight to get back again. And sometimes you come back and you get the lead. But if you get the lead too early, a lot of times that home team has a chance to recover. Mm-hmm. And usually if you're going to fight out of the deep hole and win the game, you want to do it right at the end of the game so they don't have a chance to recover against you. Yes, and this is what was happening here. This has happened to Boston. I mean, to the Warriors in this game, but they were home. They fell behind. They fought back. They fell behind. They fought back. They fell behind, right?
Yeah.
And then they were able to fight back and get it tied, and then they go ahead and win convincingly in overtime. I mean, this is such a great example of the deep hole syndrome and how it works at home as opposed to on the road.
Well said. You ready for Lee Strambolis?
Go.
Hey, Rick. My question is about the Warriors' development of the younger players. Do you feel that they should be playing in the first half of the season to see how they develop against NBA talent? And if not, maybe send them back to the G League so they could work some of the kinks out of how they could develop better to become a better NBA player?
Yeah, good question. We talked a little bit about that, but it's actually been happening. Some of the guys have been gone down and they've gone to play for the G League team and had an opportunity to get some run in, work on some things and, you know, making the most of that. And they are getting a chance to play more. Yes, what I'd like to see them. I've been talking about from day number one about these guys getting a chance to play. And I talked about it last year about it. I said, listen, if you don't play guys that you draft and you have over there and play, you still have a rookie come playoff time.
Yep.
And that's the last thing you want necessarily because you don't always have to count on. Although I will have to say a couple of rookies on the team right now are showing some great promise for the Warriors, which is terrific. And the guys that we talked about that have taken a few years to get some, some confidence in themselves and their ability, feeling that they believe in themselves, that they can play at this level and at a high level would be the two draft picks that we talked about. Of course, the one we drafted, we sent a couple of them away, which I think were good moves as it turned out. And in this case, Moody and Kuminga have been, you know, showing some real signs of players that will be an important part of the team's success. So it's great.
Agreed. In my opinion, these young kids should be up front and center. They should be getting some real minutes now, and I'm glad that they are getting that. Con So Rad from Danville.
Hey, Rick. Merry Christmas. This is Consul Rad from Danville, California. Really enjoyed the last game. Everybody's talking about that last shot that Stefan made, which was truly a beautiful raindrop. But that shot wouldn't matter if it wasn't for the contribution made by the young guys. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about the lineup going forward and the role that the young guys are going to have to play for the Warriors.
Yeah, no, I think the roles that these guys are going to have to continue to play consistently. Mm-hmm. That's the problem we have with two of our veterans. They weren't playing consistently. In fact, they were actually playing subpar based upon the performance that they've had shown in previous seasons. And we're talking about Wiggs and Thompson, right? So, yeah, it's playing itself out really well. I really like what I'm seeing. I mean, and even like the last game, I mean, you know, Steph is the guy that you count on. But, hey, what about the win up in freaking Portland when Steph was 0-for-8 from threes?
Incredible.
You know, that's the kind of thing I try to point out all the time. I said, son, if Steph Curry can go 0-for-8 from threes, it's okay if you have a bad game shooting. I mean, if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody, right? And so what happens? Wiggs steps up big time in that game, and Clay steps up and does it. And the team stepped up. I mean, this is what a team is all about, guys. And ladies who might be listening, Consul Red is a regular, as you well know. And this is exactly what team basketball is about. Have a guy that you can count on, have somebody else that you can count on most of the time, but yet still somebody else can do it. And that would be who? That would be when I was playing, Jamal Wilkes was able to come through and do some of the things for us, right? And Phil Smith is a rookie, you know, and now you have the situation where you've got Clay and you've got Wiggs who can step up and do it. But now Kuminga's showing he can get you 20 points. And so the pod man can show you he can get 20 points at a time. I mean, so this is the beauty of what a team is all about.
Yep.
So really enjoy this. I mean, if I was a Warriors fan, I would feel really good right now about what how they responded to fall way behind 500. They fought back, and they had a big win. Now, the big thing is, let's see what the hell they do in this next game coming up and not feeling good about themselves, because this is, you know, because they almost blew the game to Portland. I mean, now they're playing the Wizards, you know, and they've got Jordan's coming back to play in this one, so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But they should go out there and crush this team.
In theory, right. And by the way, Brandon Pajemski, who left that last game with the lower back injury, is listed currently as questionable for Friday's game. So let's hope he comes back soon as well.
Yeah, well, if you got a back issue, man, that's bad. Just ask Bill Walton about that. He'll tell you about it. Yeah. But hopefully he'll get himself back. But then there's still more time for other guys. So Moody's going to get a chance to do more. Let's hope he does it. And, hey, you won the last two games. And look, two of your key players – you know, I mean, also Chris Paul, you know, he's getting assists. He's not shooting and doing well, so he's not really playing up to his level. He's still finding a way to win games and against a really good team this time.
You know, I would love your thoughts on this, Rick. I did some math recently, and Steve Kerr loves his point guards. I don't know if I've ever seen a coach have this level of adoration and infatuation with point guards. 40% of the total minutes, right? And you know this as well as anyone, that there's 240 minutes total to allocate to your players in a game. 40% of those minutes are given to Steph, Chris Paul, and Pajemski. So one position is taking up almost half of all the minutes. And then you look at all the other players, right? Then wings seem to be the next priority. You see Clay up there with minutes, and then Wiggins, although his minutes are starting to decline. And then the bigs are at the very bottom. What is your opinion on that approach and that minute distribution? Because I've never seen anything like it until these last 2 years with Kerr as point guards.
Yeah, well, I mean, you use the personnel that you have in the most efficient way possible. And this is why he's been experimenting. This is why I told you, I'm not going to sit here and criticize Steve Kerr. He knows what they're doing in practice. He knows how they're appealing it. He knows what their attitude is on a daily basis. I don't. I just watch the game. I can evaluate the game and talk about what I just saw. And so, and obviously he's finding a nice mix now and trying to see what's really going to work. And that's why I'm praying and hopefully that Wiggs will accept this role. If they're winning and going on and doing it, accept the role. Play the way you played in the games before this last one when you struggled with your shot. You know, put up 20 points coming off the bench, right? 15, 20, 20, whatever. You know, just accept it. Yeah. That just makes you so much better as a team. The only thing, what I love is that they also don't quit. They could have quit in that game against Boston.
Correct. They're fighting.
Easy.
They're fighting still. No, you're absolutely
right. Easy. They fought and they clawed and got their way back in the game. It's like Tiger Woods says when he's having a tough round. I was grinding today. Okay? And the Warriors have been grinding. And I'm really happy to see that. And I'm proud of those guys for what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's good stuff. I mean, really good stuff. And we'll see how it continues to work forward. They all go panicking, talking about all these trades that I see these morons out there trying to put up there. I mean, first of all, half of them don't even work with the salary cap issue. And I don't even want to get into thinking about the salary cap. You just tell me about what? Why are you going to trade? What are they? What? Hey, if something came up that was unbelievable, I would say, hey, boy, maybe I would consider that. But to say we have to do it now, no. It's not panic mode to change and do stuff. Look at how they fought themselves back. They're still back in the mix of things now. They win this next game coming up. I didn't even look at the standings today because I was driving across the state to come home. And so if they win this game, you know, they're still right there. I mean, it's not like they're trailing to get in the playoffs and have a road of trying to climb, you know, Mount Kilimanjaro or something in the middle of the winter. I mean, it's not the case.
They're a game behind the Rockets and the Suns for the play-in, and then a game and a half behind the Lakers. And so that's just for the play-in. They're the 11th.
But all of that stuff's going bad, and they're a game so at a game and a half out of the playoffs. I mean, come on. And you got so many games left to play. God only knows what could happen. And if they keep performing and playing the way they're playing here, get Draymond back and find out things are working and everything, evaluate it as it's going along. We hit a rough spot. Every team usually has a rough spot. Very rarely that a team goes through a whole season without a couple of weeks where they suck or having trouble winning, even the greatest ones. I mean, I think that one Chicago team was about the only one that didn't have a period where they struggled some. And, of course, the Warriors, when they broke the record, it was a very short thing. So, you know, the Warriors hopefully have gotten their bad time out of the way here early.
Let's hope. Do any trades come to mind in terms of what you've heard?
No, I never. No. Anything that I've seen over there makes no freaking sense to me whatsoever. That's what I'm saying. This is why I made the comment. I said there isn't one proposed thing that somebody said that I think would be really great. Man, you should really do that trade.
Love it. Love it. Here is Wick. I think.
Unfortunately, Mike Dunleavy Jr., who's a Duke graduate, is smart enough to realize that himself.
And kudos to Mike Dunleavy Jr., by the way, for the Brandon Pajemski pick, because you're not always going to hit a home run with a mid-late first-round pick like that, and so far so damn good, in my opinion. Here's Mike.
Hey, Rick. This is Tim from Danville. Two-part question. One, do you think the Warriors will finish out the season with Draymond on their roster, number one? Number two, do you think there's a team out there that would take him in a trade, maybe late, a contender that would want him for the playoff run?
Yeah, well, to answer the question we talked about, yeah, he'll be there. I mean, you know, I don't think he's going to go out and do anything super crazy that would get him suspended for the whole season or anything of that nature. Would somebody take him? Hell yes, there'd be some teams that would take him. You know, a team, yeah, somebody would take him.
Hell yes. I hear some people say that, like I don't know if anyone's interested in Draymond. And my response to that is, are you out of your mind? This is
well, now they may not want to pay him the kind of money that he's paying.
But I see Dylan Brooks getting that 4-year, $80 million deal, and if Dylan Brooks is still has value in the NBA, someone's going to take Draymond Green, especially title contending. I think that's ludicrous. I don't think he would have any problems finding another.
No, not at all. And I don't think that's going to be the case at all, because that trade, if any trade that have to come about, they're going to who are they going to get first of all for him? If they were to decide that, you know, we're playing really well now without him, we don't really need him. It depends on who it would be. I'm not saying, you know, I mean, anything can happen. And it happens to be the right person. I couldn't tell you who the right person is. Let everybody try to go figure all that crap out with the salary cap and everything. And if they bring the name up, then we'll look at the player and forget the salary cap, forget the money. That's irrelevant in this case. I mean, other than the fact that they can't make the trade if they can't do that. But if that's the player, let's evaluate that player. See, is this someone good to bring in to replace what they got from Draymond Green and make them better? Because if it's not going to make them better, why the hell would you do the trade?
100% agree with you. Yeah, but I love the point you made earlier about the fact that What, I mean, there's no guarantees. Therapy, counseling, whatever he ends up is going to do a thing. There were people forgotten. Draymond was part of this show that was on Prime Video, where each episode takes someone high profile, and one episode was Draymond Green. And Draymond, in this episode, sat down and did counseling and therapy with like world renowned experts on trying to stay calm, trying to avoid the exact situations he found himself in this year. And what good did that do? I'm curious to see. And I'm with you, by the way. On one hand, look, there's been a lot of instances with Draymond Green in regards to, you know, the contact, the drama, you know, he finds himself in these games. But on the other side of it, I don't think there was intent there either. I really think he just...
Zero intent.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird stunt. I mean, you heard him admitting in the post game how he was trying to sell a foul, which to me brings up a whole other discussion. It's like because we see this throughout the league, all these players trying to sell fouls, and there's just all this drama with officials. But I'm totally with you that he wasn't trying to hit the guy in the head, and the ballerini thing was weird, the way he twisted like with his arms up. But I don't think there was intent there. I don't know.
He was there. He got held and pushed. And he broke himself away. He lost his balance, and he was going there, and his body twisted, and he flung his left arm back. But he didn't even know where the guy was. He didn't know he was going to hit him in the face or head. I mean, come on. Just look at what the intent was. There was no intent. Okay, so without intent, it was an accident that happened.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was not good, you know, and certainly deserving of a flagrant foul, even though it wasn't intentional. But you know, because of your previous experience, this had nothing to do with some of the other crazy stuff he's done.
This to me, Rick,
could have happened. This could have happened to anybody.
Agreed. And Rick, I don't know if you agree, if you're on the same page with me. To me, I see this as a metaphor of the Draymond situation. It would be a bad driver, someone who is not intentionally getting a lot of tickets for running stop signs, speeding. But at a certain point, even if none of these things are intentional, they're going to take your license away. And I feel like with Draymond, he just has gotten into too many of these kinds of accidents, and the league has just had their fill. I don't know if you agree with me.
I still don't think it's justification for the severity of the penalty. I really don't.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, if he had done something that, you know, was that the intent was there, hell yes, that's the right thing to do. I still don't get how it's an undetermined. Well, how the hell are you going to determine it, whether he's getting counted? I mean, come on. That's the part that I'm saying. That's so ambiguous. It's ridiculous.
Rick, if this was happening 20, 30 years ago, would there be this?
Nothing would have happened with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's people not even flinch.
Are you kidding me? Some of the freaking fights we used to have? Come on.
No. I do feel like the way that the league and this the world is reacting to Draymond Green is indicative more so of how much the world's changed when it comes to you know, aggressive behavior, you know, bringing a tough side to professional sports. Like, yeah, I'm totally with you. I agree 100%. Yeah. Do you want to, Jason?
Yeah, let's get a call.
Here we go. Oops, sorry.
Hey, Rick, Jason Pollard from San Bruno here. Do you think that Klay Thompson finishes the season as a Warrior, or do they move on from him at the trade deadline?
Oh, I can't imagine they're going to let Klay go. I mean, he's a battler. I think it would be kind of sad if he were not to finish his career as a Warrior. That's very rare for that to happen in today's basketball era. It just doesn't seem to be the case. And he was struggling at the beginning, but you know, his struggling numbers are better than a lot of guys' good numbers.
Yeah. So,
I mean, seriously, I mean, and look what he's just done. All of a sudden he's come back and he's shown what he's certainly capable of doing. And I told you before, if you just look, I hate to have to do it. I didn't want to waste the time, but do it. But if somebody were to go back and look at Klay scoring game-wise during how many he got, what he got, I guarantee you it's more like a roller coaster than it is a drag strip.
Well, Rick, I wanted to give you your due because you're one of the only people who have stuck with Klay through this whole slump. You've been saying, and you've been emphatic, you've stuck to your conviction here, which is that Klay is an up-and-down player. And, you know, he goes through slumps, you know, and you're one of the only people who thought that he would snap out of it.
But the thing is, he believes it himself.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, look at the fact that this guy is back playing at the level he's playing with the two injuries that he had is a miracle.
It is.
It's a miracle to modern. It's a miracle to modern medicine, and it's a miracle. That's a miracle for modern medicine, but it's a tribute to Klay Thompson and his desire to want to play and get himself back and go through the rehab he had to go through and to play at this level. But I'm just saying, if somebody would look it up, I might be wrong, but I would think that you're going to see, my mind is still pretty sharp, that there's a lot of times he's scoring points and blah, 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 and then he doesn't have a great game shooting, but then he's another one of these here. And even as great as Klay is, Steph has that habit. Look, he just went 0-for-8.
Well, that's what happens to most shooters, right? I mean,
what happens. You know, you shoot. Yeah. You do. It's like, you know, you shoot your way out of it. You got to believe in yourself. Yeah. You don't just all of a sudden, oh, my God, I can't shoot anymore. No. You know, I mean, that's the same thing that happened. So what does Steph do after 0-for-8? He comes back and he throws a dagger again. I mean, and shoots up 50-something.
Incredible.
Come on. This is what the game is about. This is what these two guys are about. I mean,
it's incredible.
They're both very special players.
Agreed. And Klay, the last four games, has shot 50% from three. He's the team's leading scorer. You know, I did my research on Klay in terms of the starts to the season. I haven't done my research in terms of the entire body of work. I'm sure there is some sort of chart where you can see the – like a line graph where it's like parabolic in terms of up and down. But in terms of
good word, I like that word, parabolic. Nice.
But there, in terms of like starts to the season, he's never had one like this. This was by far the worst start he's ever had.
Yeah, no question. I read that. People talked about it. Yeah, so he had a tough start. Yeah. And you know what? Even though he might not admit it, you know, not having the contract and doing stuff may have weighed on his mind. But he, you know, he's a smart enough guy to know, but hey, I can't let that impact the way I'm playing. So maybe his focus wasn't as good as it should have been, you know, and so he went through a tough stretch. But, you know, hopefully this is now the resurrection and he's back. Praise the Lord.
Let's hope. What are your thoughts on Trace Jackson Davis? I love this kid. I thought he was a huge reason why they won this last game. 13 rebounds, a plus 25 in the net rating, meaning when he was out there, the Warriors outscored the Celtics by 25 points.
Yeah, he's showing that he has an impact on the game. I know you've been a big fan of his talking about it. He hasn't got a whole lot of opportunities, but I read a good story about him, about the comment he made about the people you're going to be sorry. I'm telling you, that's the way I felt when I didn't get picked number one. And I love that. And that was one specific team. And in his case, he's got a bunch of teams that, you know, could have had a chance to get him. And mine was only one. And so I had a lot of big games against the Knicks because they didn't take me. Okay. So
did you want again? Did you want that to be their pick? Did you want to play?
I grew up.
I know. That's why
I was a Knicks fan. I mean, what are you kidding?
That's why I asked. Yeah. Okay.
In my backyard. So I never forgave him for that. I'm not a vindictive person, but I also have a good memory.
Well, and it also motivated you, right? It made you a better player.
Well, of course it motivated me, but it goes back to what I just said earlier in the show, and I was emphasizing everything in life happens for a reason.
Right.
It wasn't meant for me to go there.
You were meant to be a California kid, Rick.
It was meant for me to get out to California and actually live and get away from all the craziness, unless my wife calls it the East Coast edge that you have. It's like survival of the freaking fittest, you know?
I like the East Coast edge, though. I feel like at least you're not going to get passive aggressiveness. You're not going to get a phony approach. People just tell you how they feel and then you move on, right?
Well, the other thing about it is, I mean, if you go back there, you don't let people take advantage of you.
There you go.
You stand up for yourself.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I like that attitude. I know it's not for everyone. Some people,
my wife doesn't like it at times, but
I like it. Like when I go to New York City, man, people you'll know how someone feels. And I like knowing where I stand with someone else, you know, as opposed to some fake persona.
I've been meaning to tell you, Cyrus. Oh, never mind.
Go ahead and tell me. No,
I'm joking. I'm going to tell you something about how I really feel.
Never mind. And so you brought up at the beginning of the show, your youngest son, Canyon, who, speaking of time flies, when I was producing your show and you brought him one time for a visit, he was like a little kid. I still can't believe he's 30 now, or he's about to be 30. Two questions for you. One, is the girlfriend something serious? Like, is she coming around for the holidays? Yeah,
it's probably most serious I've ever seen him, for sure.
Oh, wow. Okay. And two, tell the audience about his whole dream and pursuit of making the three on three.
Well, obviously, it's not if it was a dream. His thing is that he just got very frustrated because he could never get a chance in the NBA.
Unfairly, in my opinion.
Timberwolves, which I was amazing to me, the stats and stuff that he had to not even get a 10-day contract. And he just got, you know, well, this is crazy. I mean, it's like beating your head against the wall and you don't see a crack. Well, if there's no crack, you know, it's time to stop hitting your head against the damn wall. If it's cracking, yeah, maybe you keep working on it a little bit.
Yeah.
And so then he had the chance to go and do the 3x3. And here's the thing about 3x3. You have to know how to play 3x3 well. Okay. But it's so physical. Oh my God. It's so physical. Incredible how physical it is. But he committed to it and said, okay, he knew that my biggest disappointment in my career is never having made the Olympic team. And, you know, it was a big political thing there. The worst memory I have of basketball. And he had a chance to become an Olympian, having experience standing on a podium at the World Cup when they won it the first time. That's the only time, only gold medal the USA had never won before in basketball was the 3x3 World Cup. And he won that a few years back.
Right.
Undefeated. He won that. Then he also won a couple of AmeriCup gold medals. They just were in the Pan Am Games. He just won the gold medal. Came close to beating the number one team in the world, Serbia, in the World Cup recently. That, man, I don't know. They got a couple of horrible calls against them, and also a shot by Jimmer Fredette. I don't know if I've seen a ball go further into the basket and still come out. And if that ball had not come out, they win. They beat Serbia in that one and get the gold medal. They wound up with silver. Yeah. So anyway, they played well enough to qualify. And so now when they had the Olympics in Tokyo, he was chosen on the Olympic qualifying team. But 2 days before they were going to go, he slipped on the court and hurt his back and he couldn't play. And they missed by one game getting in. But again, it all gets back to what I said again. I know I sound like a broken record, but this is another example of it. Everything in life happens for a reason. He didn't get the Olympic experience. And what turns out? What? COVID and all. And it was maybe one of the worst Olympic experiences could ever. You didn't even have an opening ceremony, which is like one of the biggest things, greatest things that you can experience. And he experienced that at the Pan Am Games. But still, to do that as an Olympian, and you're once Olympian, always an Olympian. And so now it's worked out that he very well may have the chance to be an Olympian. And had the thing worked out for him with the NBA, you know, he would probably made a whole hell of a lot more money, but he never would have had a chance to be an Olympian.
Right. Is he going to be, you know, you're obviously, if you follow basketball, people are aware of your progeny and the fact that not only are you one of the all-time greats, but you have five sons, all who have played at the professional level. Have you or any of your sons, though, been an Olympian?
No, that's what I'm saying. Nobody has.
Okay,
I came close to doing it, but none of the other one have.
Okay.
And, so that's cool.
That is cool. So Kanyon, even though he – and I think it's incredibly unfair he never got a shot in the NBA. When you look at the other players who are getting these 10-day deals, it's absurd. But he still might be the one representative of the Barry clan who comes home with an Olympic – that's incredible.
Yeah. He's already done something nobody else done. I mean, he's got a gold medal in the world with the World Championships, the World Cup in 3x3, and he's had the AmeriCup twice, and he's had the Pan Am Games. So he's had the gold medal and standing on that podium, and I have pictures of him, and I know how I felt. I had a USA uniform on one time. We played an exhibition game against the Soviet Union at the time, and I remember when they played the national anthem, because we won that national anthem, the feeling that I had when that national anthem played. I mean, oh my God. Never ever have I felt so patriotic as I did with that in that situation with that USA on my chest here in that national anthem played.
Love it.
And then I have the photos of him. You could see the emotion he had when the World Cup, I wound up seeing some photos of him standing there with incredible eyes closed. I mean, you could just tell how proud he was. And to have that chance, well, he's had it four times, you know, already with gold medals and once with a silver. I mean, and if he could go there and medal at the Olympics, I mean, my gosh, that would be just so great. He deserves it. He's a great kid. He's got a great job of L3 Harris, a big engineering firm that does a lot of government top secret work at all. And they really like him there. And they've been so kind to him to allow him to do this tour with FIBA, with USA playing for the Miami team in the FIBA World Tour, which just finished. And he never could have done that if it weren't for the fact that his work people there allowed him to do it, knowing that he's trying to go and represent the United States and be, which he was representing the United States and even in the Pan Am Games, to give him the freedom to be able to, you know, miss those days and adjust the schedule around it. So I'm so grateful to those people at L3 Harris for that.
Hell yeah. And as with most things in life, politics come in. You got to be diplomatic sometimes. with the men's Olympic team, we're like with the regular basketball team, not 3-on-3. We're likely going to see a roster that does not resemble what we saw with the FIBA Cup. Is that kind of politicking going to play into the 3-on-3, or is the sense that the unit that's been playing together is the one that's going to represent the U.S.?
I wish that were the case, the latter, but it's not what they have. As they can make some changes and do things. If you've watched other Olympic things, I mean, in track and field, a lot of times in relay races, the guys don't run the relay, you know, in the qualifying stuff, and they save them for either to go to the medal round or just to run even in the medal round.
Right.
So, but that's a little different because it's just a one-time thing with the trial, with the competitions taking. In order to get to the Olympics, they had to play their butts off and win comp, just finish well, get points and stuff to qualify for the Olympics because there's only 8 teams that are going to be in there. And so, you know, and for those guys to bust their hump like that and to get it done and go on this grueling, I mean, this is grueling. I mean, the fly where you have to fly to freaking Mongolia and get there on a Wednesday and have to play on Friday and, you know, time travel and difference and then play, you know, 2 games on Saturday and 3 games on Sunday to try to win, you know, a medal. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, it wasn't easy, but I'm saying all over the world, Middle East, he was in Jeddah, he's Doha and Philippines, you know, it's crazy. Serbia, I mean, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think the guys deserve to have it, but that's why I'm saying we're you know, saying our prayers and praying that based upon the performance that he's had and the way that he's played. I mean, I think he did. For Jimmer Fredette was picked as the player of the year in USA Basketball, had a great season, won a bunch of MVPs at tournaments and what have you. One of the top 3-point shooters there, but actually, I think for the World Tour thing, I think that actually Canyon's 3-point shot percentage was higher than Jimmer's, so that's a good thing as well. But yeah, so wow. I'm hoping it works out.
That is good.
Yep. Hey, what about you talk about things? You know, what a comeback to play his first game back after out for 25 games with Ja did wins. You know, hit the winning shot. I mean, hell, you just hope you can win a hit shot there. But I mean, how dramatic is that? After 25 games, his team's been struggling, and he hits the winning shot and puts up some crazy numbers. That was pretty impressive. And hopefully his deal was definitely deserved, and hopefully he's learned his lesson because he's got two strikes. He's done if he does something stupid like that again.
Big time. Well, what were your thoughts on the in-season tournament and what we're seeing after it? Because the two teams that made the final, the Lakers and the Pacers, are both struggling, and they're both blaming the extra energy and effort they put into this in-season tournament.
That's bullshit. The extra energy has nothing to do with it. You know what it is? It's the focus.
Gotcha. So they're just the focus kind of wanes.
It's the focus. They're not focused. They were there with the thing to try to do something. They accomplished the NBA by doing it. They accomplished that, and the teams went after it. It was good. I think it was great. I hope they keep having it. But the thing is, now they're going to have to go and have the mid-season tournament. Because then you got an incentive to keep that focus going to win some more extra money, even though you don't have enough. I'm only making $8 million. I need another $500,000. So the bottom line is that it's about the focus, and this is what the problem. I think they're realizing it now. All of a sudden they did have a drop off those teams. The focus wasn't all there. And I told you before, you can play hard, but if you're not focused, you're half a step late. If you're half a step late in basketball, you're screwed.
Well, that's what I feel like is going on with Wiggins. He looks like he's a half step slow on everything. I think it's a focus issue. I don't know what's going on with him, but have you ever seen a player his age with his skill set struggle this much? And he's 28. Well, I mean, it's crazy what's going on.
I don't know. The first part of the season, he definitely was struggling. And he had his issues last year being out. And you know, he still never was quite himself, although he was – you know, he surprised me that he played the way he did, but he was not himself. And so he hasn't really been himself. Those two games when he came off the bench were the best two games he's played in quite some time.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he's capable, obviously, of doing that. And what he has to accept his role if that's what Steve decides to do. And he said that, and I just have to do with it. But he didn't say it with a great deal of enthusiasm. Okay. Just like Clay answered the questions, what are you going to do? Bench me? Bench us? I mean, you know, hey, Clay, yeah, that's what he's going to do. And he benched one of you.
Clay would have been benched if he didn't turn around as well. It's so good to see him We see where it's so nice we're seeing the old Clay, but the Wiggins thing.
I'm happy for him. I mean, I wasn't worried about him. I mean, I really wasn't worried about him. You know, Wiggs, know him as well as Clay and been around as long, and being what he went through last year, and he's never, you know, I think those two games were the first time he showed really himself again the way he was prior to, you know, leaving for his personal reasons. And, you know, hopefully he'll get it together. Although then, you know, then he laid an egg in the next game after those first two and didn't do well at all.
But it paid off because this time Kerr stuck with Kuminga and we got a chance to see what happens when Kuminga plays extensive minutes. And the result is he can play, you know, like I'm it worked out as you said with your broken comment speech. And by the way, or your broken record speech. And if you're going to be a broken record about anything, be it about that, because you're absolutely right.
I'm just hoping that he'll buy into it if that's what Steve decides to do, and if they can continue to play well, then you know, live with it and accept it and say, hey, this is working, this is cool. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And the other thing about it is for him, I mean, the kind of money they're paying and everything, you fill that role, that can extend your career at least another year or two maybe, because you're not beating yourself up and playing as many crazy minutes. And that's why, you know, some of these guys accept that, okay? Try to win. That's all it's about now. You got enough money, but you can even make even more money by doing that, because you're not going to get beat up playing crazy minutes. You might be able to play a year or two more if you're able to go out and perform at a level that's needed for you to accept that role of coming off the bench.
Agreed. 100% with you. Did you see Becky Hammons, the former assistant coach for Popovich in San Antonio? She came out and answered a question about whether or not Jalen Brunson, the point guard for the Knicks, whether he's enough for the Knicks to lead them to glory, to a championship. Her response was, you can't have your 1A player, your best player, be a small player like Jalen Brunson. The only exception to that was Stephen Curry. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Well, that means that it can be done, right? Yes. Obviously, it can be done. It just depends upon who his supporting cast is.
Yeah.
It's a team. You know, what I would say is that, and I said it when it happened, because the NBA copied stuff, when Spud Webb came in and Muggsy Bogues and those guys, I said, I am telling you right now, there's no way that any team in the NBA is going to win an NBA championship if their starting point guard is one of those guys. not against them, anything against them. They were terrific at what they did. But as a starting point guard, no, there's no way. And of course, they realized that was the case. You know, they even realized that it's hard because of the quality of play and the size of guys. They couldn't even get away with it after a while. You know, teams adjusted to it. Like, I couldn't believe myself when they would go in a game, how the other team didn't just post them up every single time and just brutalize them. You know, I remember one game when Brent was playing, I forget which team he was on at the time, and Muggsy comes into the game and he's guarding him. Why would the hell? Brent is a great post-up, can pass the ball, shoot the ball. Why the hell would you not post up a 6'6" guy with a wingspan that's super ridiculous against a 5'-something guy?
Exactly. I mean,
are you freaking kidding me? In fact, the one thing about Don Nelson that he did that I thought was cool was that even though it wasn't like the big mismatch, but sometimes if you got a guy and he can take advantage of it, Baron Davis of the Warriors is a great post-up player.
Yes, he is.
He was strong. He had some size. And I had a kid that played, some guys that played for me that was 6'3", and I'd post him up all the time because he was a beast in the post. Doesn't have to be a 7-footer to go get post play, folks.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Oh, man. Rick, an hour flies by like nothing every time we do this, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, well, we haven't talked in a while. There's a lot of things happening and going on, you know, in the league. And to me, the biggest thing is that, you know, so many surprises as to the teams that are up at the top of the list as far as in their divisions and all. I mean, you know, Minnesota, what they're doing, and what the Orlando Magic are doing. And then the fact that some of the other teams are as bad as they are. I mean, you know, 2 wins, Detroit. I mean, they've got a multitude of injuries there and all, but, yeah. You know, 2 and 3 wins only in 20-something games. I mean, that's painful.
You're right. Has Brent had any fun stories? I don't know how often you speak with him, but, like, has he had any stories about Wembanyama? I know, obviously, he works for the Spurs. I know he's more on the G League side.
I wouldn't bring stuff up and talk about business, and that's his business. That's his life and doing stuff.
Fair. That's fair.
I would never say anything that he said and all, because people could take it and run and say something and take it out of context and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to talk about what's happening with my son.
That is true.
I learned that even trying to be nice when some other things went on in his life, and also just keep your big mouth shut, Rick, and let him know what he does.
Well, I wasn't asking you about dirt. I was asking more so just.
No, I'm talking about dirt. I mean, the things that are happening. Yeah, but the thing is, if I said that, suppose I said, well, I'm certainly not going to tell you if you said, well, I don't think the guy's a big stiff. I don't think. I mean. That was Doug Moe's favorite thing. Oh, he's a stiff. No, so he wouldn't say that. But I'll tell you what. What I saw was a perfect example of what's going to happen. They can do that a number of years down the road. They showed the other day when Milwaukee was playing, they showed Giannis, when he first came in the league, a picture of him and the picture of him now. I mean, it's like a different body they have
completely,
on him. Okay?
Completely,
they
yes.
turned him into a beast. Okay.
He looked now, totally different.
I don't know if Wemby's as wide as Giannis. I don't think he is, but he's going to be a much bigger, stronger, more powerful guy in a few seasons. Okay. And he's already done a number of things, throwing up some really nice numbers and doing some good. And, you know, I don't think they're trying to rush him along. And he's going to be a factor for many years to come if he stays healthy. You can trust me on that one. That's like a lock. I mean, I don't know how dominant he'll become. You know, that remains to be seen. I personally would be working on him as low post game for sure. And they do that. They put him down in the post a lot and make sure, like, I never could understand why Dirk Nowitzki, they wouldn't have him turn into, because he was having such mismatch size wise.
Yeah.
Why would you not take advantage of that? I just don't understand that.
Well,
one of the principles of every sport is what do you do when you play an opponent in a team sport?
Well,
even in an individual sport, if you're playing against somebody in the same sport, not boxing, whatever it may be, you exploit the weaknesses of your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he's got a size advantage and is great in the post, he can throw over people, do whatever. Why would you not post him up against this? If you got a small guy on him, immediately as soon as you see it, they match up. If he's got a small guy, whatever the hell you were thinking of running, screw it. You go immediately to the offense that you have when he has a mismatch.
Well, and that, in my opinion, is how the We Believe Warriors in 07 beat the Mavericks. I don't think Dirk was ready to carry his team because he hadn't developed that side of his game yet. He wasn't. I don't know if it was toughness.
But he never did.
You don't think even by the time they were a championship team?
I don't think they actually took him. And do you ever, how many times you watch and see where they posted him up against?
Yeah, it wasn't much. It wasn't much. You're right. Seriously. It wasn't often.
I mean, I would do that until they found the way to stop him. come on, basketball is not that complicated. It's not like football where you got 11 guys out there. You got to figure out where they're going, what they're doing, who's blocking who, which way you're blocking. No, basketball is not that complicated. I mean, it's a game generally, and this is why the Warriors are so good. It's usually one-on-one, two-on-two, or three-on-three situations. However, if you do that and you run what was the old-fashioned school, they got so much credit because it was an old-fashioned guy that did it, Tex Winters with the Bulls and Phil Jackson and all. It's you know, the triangle offense, it's simple fundamental basketball from the Stone Ages. Okay, but they ran it really well. They did it, but they had the luxury of giving the ball to Michael Jordan with 5 seconds to go if they didn't get a shot. Okay, so I made that so effective. Okay, but the thing is what the Warriors did and the success that they've had, yes, they do that and they would go, but they didn't do a lot of the one-on-one stuff. They did a lot more when they had Kevin Durant, but they didn't do all the one-on-one stuff so much. They did do a lot of two-man stuff. They did have three-man plays, but what they did that was cool is the movement of the whole team, where a lot of times it would be 5, 6, 7 passes. And so it really put the responsibility and the onus on the defense to have to make multiple decisions defensively. And so I always remember my dad, semi-pro player and coach, son, the more decisions you force the defense to make, the more the likelihood they'll make a mistake. And if you understand the game, you will capitalize on those mistakes. And this is what the Warriors did to perfection at times. And it's just the way you play the game. It's so much more fun to play. It's so much more fun to watch.
Absolutely. That is such simple yet incredibly sound advice. It really is.
The Warriors, when they had Kevin Durant, when they got in trouble, hey, it works great if he's on his game. And, hey, you know, he had a lot of really great games. But a lot of times they get caught in the rut of just letting him go one-on-one. Well, if he's having an off night, that's going to cause a problem for the team.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. The Warriors, by the way, this season are 7th in the NBA in assists. That's a category they're usually always.
Yeah, that's usually their way up high, you know, doing that. But one of the reasons that is you've got, you know, a bunch of guys that are not shooting the ball well.
Right, they're not making the shot.
Yeah, they're not making it. They're not. You know, there would be right. assist, but unfortunately, I mean, the ball's not going in the basket.
Right, so, the seventh is still good, but I hear what you're saying. It would be. Yeah, even
but even
higher.
even as poorly as all that stuff's going, there's still seventh.
Yeah, exactly. I'm absolutely with you. Rick, always a pleasure, sir.
Certainly wish everybody all the best for the rest of the holiday season. Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever your Kwanzaa, if you're whatever you're celebrating. You know, all the best, and especially for the new year, may it be healthy and prosperous.
It's
and
that's your number, Rick. 24.
Yeah, I'm
your year.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to try to make it a special year because of being number 24.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of things going on that I'm going to be trying to accomplish and do to just make it a very special special year. And I think you always have to have goals in life. And I've got a bunch of goals I've set for myself. So I'm excited, looking forward to it. And again, for everybody, the number one thing always should be good health, because I have friends that are suffering and struggling through things. And some of the people I know, I mean, they've got more money than they can know what to do with, but they're not healthy and they can't enjoy their life. And
that's awful.
I just really recommend to everybody out there, as the new year's coming on, to make a resolution for yourself. If you have an opportunity to do something special in your life, don't put it off. If you can afford to do it and you have the time to do it, do it. Life is too short. Life is too precious. And don't pass up on those opportunities that you, whether it's individual or you with your partner, have an opportunity to do something super special, and you have your health, by God, do it.
That is sound advice, sir. And people can follow you on all social media platforms at Rick24Barry. I'm on Threads. You can follow me there at Dog Wild. Rick, this is always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much.
Good to see you again. God bless everybody.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.